Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad that you worship with us this morning. If this is the first time you are joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. As we enter the last quarter of 2021, I would like to remind you that AGM is coming. Each year, we will hold our annual general meeting to share about God's work at Koinonia. Just like last year, the 2021 AGM will be held over Zoom online. And let me highlight two important days for you to remember about AGM. On Friday evening, November the 12th, at our November prayer meeting, we'll share about our ministry reports, our financial report and budget for 2022. And the second important date to remember is November 28th, which is a Sunday. The actual AGM will be held over Zoom at 10 a.m. At the AGM, all registered members of Koinonia will have an opportunity to vote for some important motion for our church. So please reserve this date, November 12th, Friday, and November 28th, Sunday. And stay tuned for more details in the coming few weeks. And talking about November, let me remind you that next week we'll be celebrating communion together again. Just make sure that you have prepare enough bread and juice, and then we'll celebrate the communion together in our online worship. And starting this morning, we are launching a new series called Psychic. When you read the Bible, there are many accidental heroes who stumble on the stage of God's salvation story. Some of them used to be living on the margins of the society. They might be outcasts or even minorities in the society. Yet, at the right time, they seized the moment and brought a pleasant surprise to the story. So come join us and explore how psychic can be used by God to make a difference in His story. As we prepare to receive God's word and praise God, let me invite you to stand. And let me begin with a song of praise from the Luke Gospel, offered by Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was also an just ordinary woman used by God in the most surprising way. The Bible said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from the throne and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. Yes, He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Church, let's praise God and worship Him together.
You are the only King forever. kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. You higher, you are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Sing your praise, Jesus, Jesus, the name. when every tear is wiped away. The whole world bows under your name. We'll reign with you for all our days. Jesus, Jesus, the name above all other names. Jesus, Jesus, forever we will sing your praise. Jesus, Jesus, the name above all other names. Jesus, Jesus, forever we will sing your praise.
Jesus, we praise you as King. We desire to follow your rule and reign. But we know that sometimes following you is difficult. There are challenges and temptations and trials. Jesus, would you help us? Would you give us the power and strength to follow you?
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soul I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your cavalry. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a result. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making given me. Jesus, bring
as we go through any trials, any testing, any tough choices in following you. Jesus, we ask that you increase our perseverance and steadfastness, that we may be complete and perfect and continue to follow you. Amen. Church, please be seated.
1977 was an important year. That was the year when the movie Star Wars first came to the theater. I'm sure many people have tons of memories about this important movie. And after 3 years, The Empire Strikes Back was released. And then in 1983, The Return of the Jedi came out. One of the reasons why this movie was such a big success is that Star Wars has a great story. The characters of the story are so relatable. They are ordinary people just like you and me. The main character, Luke Skywalker, was just a nobody. He lived on a desert planet in the outer rim of the galaxy. He is an orphan who has no idea where he came from. He was a farm boy raised by his step-uncle and auntie. He was living on the planet his whole life and would never dream of leaving that place. One day, his uncle acquired two robots. Remember the name? C-3PO and then R2-D2, right? While Luke was cleaning them up, he came across a hidden message that directed him to find a Jedi called Obi-Wan. That begins a journey that would lead him to many different places. First, he flies with Han Solo across the galaxy. He rescued Princess Leia. And then he joined the Rebel Alliance. He learned to use the Force. He became a Jedi himself. And then he came face to face with Darth Vader. He attacked a Death Star. And eventually, he defeated the Imperial Empire and liberated the entire galaxy. You remember all the details? Star Wars presents an incredible adventure that ordinary people just like you and me would readily sign up and join. And like all good story, Star Wars begins with a core narrative. In a core narrative, a problem had risen. A crisis loomed. The Rebel Alliance was about to be crushed by the evil empire. An urgent message was sent, seeking help from the last Jedi in the galaxy. And this message, out of nowhere, was received by a farm boy on the remote planet. The fate of the galaxy depends on that one person now. A need is presented, a call has been issued. An ordinary person who doesn't know anything about the Force, the Jedi, the Rebellion, or the Empire has been called to join. So, what would be his response? Is he going to jump on board? Or is he going to let this pass? And the answer is no. Are you surprised? Like the movie, because that's exactly the kind of answer that I would give. You mean me? Do you want my help? I'm just a farm boy, right? To fight against the Empire, I can't get involved. I'm busy. I've got work to do. Does this sound familiar to you? It's not that I like the Empire. I hate it. But there's nothing I can do about it right now. Does this sound familiar to you? I'm just a farm boy. I'm a small potato. I'm not a Jedi. I've never been trained. Haven't you heard about this before? And it is such a long, long way from here. It's too far. It's too hard. It's too risky. Haven't you heard about that before? No matter how great the opportunity is ahead of you, you dare not risking. You don't want to take that one extra step. It's just too risky. You worry, you were scared, you don't want to be laughed at, you don't want to lose face. So like all reasonable people, we nicely decline. We say no. Luke's answer was one of that most of us can relate to. Look, I can take you to the nearest town. You can get a transport there and go to wherever you need to go. That's the best I can do. Isn't that a great answer? Well, it's a safe answer, really safe. And how many times in our life have we declined a call like that? A call that would stretch us, a call that would require us to take risks, a call that would take us to unknown spaces, a call that would take us out of our own ordinary orbit, our normal routines. Nonetheless, a call we know it is right, a call that we have been waiting for almost our entire life. Have you ever declined such a call? One good thing about a great story is that even though the main character has declined the call, he or she still got drafted into the action anyway. You give Obi-Wan a ride, and the next things you know, you remember in the movie, you're on board the Millennium Falcon. You find yourself taking lightsaber lessons, and soon you'll be fighting against Imperial fighters. The adventure takes you on a very different path. It leads you toward your destiny. This is the journey that we will embark on in the next 6 weeks. Today, we'll start a new series called Psychic. I want to share with you a psychic story in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, besides the story of Adam and Eve, about Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those people, we also know this actually in this huge story called Genesis. There are psychics within the story. And we would also discover another fact is that God did not just use the so-called main characters, but also he used psychics to accomplish his salvation plan. When the moment comes, these psychics would respond to God's call, no matter how minor their role is. They would take up the assigned role and act out their role according to what God has appointed. And in this passage, in Genesis chapter 24, there was a psychic who has played a very significant role in the whole story. And because of this one psychic, God's plan, God's salvation plan in the life of Abraham and his family was fulfilled. But if I ask you, can you name this psychic in the story in Genesis 24? Actually, you cannot even find his name. It's a nameless psychic. All we know is that he is an old servant in the family of Abraham. So in this morning, we'll take a look at three sections of chapter 24 of Genesis and check how our God was using a psychic to accomplish his will. First, let's look at Genesis chapter 24, the first 9 verses. I'll call it the first act of today's story. The character came on stage were Abraham and his old servant. In the previous chapter, we heard of a sad news. Sarah, Abraham's wife, had died. And at the beginning of Genesis 24, Abraham talked to his old servant, the oldest of all his household, who had charge of all that he had. And I think that was how Abraham talked to him. After Sarah's departure, my health was not as good as before. I think I probably won't be around too long. But before my departure, I still have one more wish. I remember that year. I was only 75. God told me very clearly that we need to go from our home country, our father's house, to the land God showed us. And God also promised us that He will make of us a great nation. I still remember that. He will bless us and make our name great. Wow, what a promise. I still remember. Yes, all these years, I know God has been blessing our whole family in big way and small way. But I always remember that promise about our family will become a great nation. Now, it sounds like a joke. After Sarah left, there was only me and Isaac. And Isaac is no longer a boy anymore. He is in his 30s, but he is still single. How can our family become a great nation? Just him and me. Abraham then gave a very specific instruction to the servant to go back to his home country and go to his kindred and take a wife for Isaac, his son. And there was a condition. Never take a wife for Isaac from among the Canaanites, which is the Gentiles. And just imagine with me for a second, if you were Abraham's servant, how would you react to this order? If I were the servant, I think I would have tons of questions to Abraham, my master. Master, are you sure you want me to go all the way? It was quite a distance. Out of the universe, how would I find the right person for Isaac? It seems to be quite tough, you know. And just assuming I find that person, what if she does not want to come with me? What should I do? Just imagine, you know, imagine today, or maybe this afternoon, a stranger coming at your door. He mentioned that he is a relative of your family, and that he would like to propose to your daughter. How would you react? No way, right? Would you ever say yes? Probably not. So you can imagine, Abraham's assignment for that old servant is almost a mission impossible. So in chapter 24, verse 7, Abraham said, God is the Lord of heaven and earth. He had led our family to depart our original home. He did speak to me and swore to me, to our offspring, he will give this land. So he's trying to assure that, well, what we are doing is on the right track. It is God's plan. So he encouraged his servant, the Lord will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. To the servant, did this assignment full of uncertainty. But in order to fulfill his master's last wish, probably, he would go ahead and try his best. And he did not just leave by himself. He took 10 of his master's camels and all sorts of choice gifts from his master. If we take a quick look at the geography, his journey was not an easy one. It would probably take him about 3 weeks at that time to travel from Canaan all the way to the destination, the city of Nahor. Now, let's pause for a little while. As a sidekick in this Genesis drama, how would you rate the performance of this old servant? Facing an almost impossible mission, it was normal to ask a lot of questions, right? But this servant did not just stop there. Even though there were uncertainties, he was obedient to Abraham, his master, for he understood that this assignment is not just about Abraham. It is also about God's promise, was how being fulfilled in his whole family as well. So when the moment arrived, when you receive the assignment from the master, how would you react? Will you tell him, sorry, I'm too busy. I have all other things to do. Can we try next time? Will you keep asking questions but never accept the assignment? After a long trip from the land of Canaan, we finally arrive at Abraham's hometown. And that leads us to Act 2 of today's story. After a long journey, the servant finally arrived at the city of Nahor, which is the hometown of Abraham. When the servant arrived, it was already in the evening. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of the water. And because of the hot weather, evening was also the time when all the women came out to the well to draw water at the time. And then the servant was standing outside the city. On one hand, I'm sure he would be really thankful. Whew, finally, we are here in this town called Nahor. But on the other hand, I'm sure he must be a little bit anxious. Okay, so what next? There are so many people walking around, you know. How can I find the right person for Isaac? And the Bible tells us his first action, well, it's not worrying, actually. He was praying. If you were the servant, when you arrive at your destination finally, would you do the same? And how would you pray? So let's take a look at his prayer. Oh God, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I'm standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the man of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. So let's keep that in mind, especially how this servant prayed. And guess what happened? Before he had finished praying or speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. Just as all other women, Rebekah was doing her daily chores, daily routine. She came up with her water jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and filled her jar. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. The servant ran to meet her. He was probably thinking, oh, maybe that's the one. Now, let's remember how the servant prayed. According to his prayer, whoever replied with an offer to give him drink and also water his camels, she will be the one, the chosen one, to marry Isaac. And now comes Rebekah's turn. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him, the servant, a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Wow, that's exactly what the servant was hoping and praying. Rebekah quickly emptied her jar into the trough. She ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all the camels, 10 camels in total. And do you know how much water a camel needs? For 10 camels, right? I did a little bit math. Usually, one camel can drink 200 liter water in just 3 minutes. So 200 equals the volume of those large garbage bin in Richmond, okay? So for 10 camels, that could mean 2,000 liter. Rebekah could have been running back and forth, I don't know how many times, just to help all the camels to have enough to drink. As Rebecca was busy getting water, the Bible says in verse 21, the servant gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord has prospered his journey or not. And after another round of conversation, the servant find out that actually Rebecca was the daughter of Bethuel, and her home had plenty of space to host the servant and the camels as well. When Abraham's servant heard this answer, he knew that, yes, she is the one. She is the one. After all the traveling, the first person he met outside the city was Rebecca. And Rebecca was not just anybody. She was actually related with Abraham's family. She was the granddaughter of Nahor. And Nahor is a brother of Abraham. So to make the equation short, so technically, Abraham is Rebecca's granduncle. After knowing all this, Abraham's servant, he bowed his head and worshipped the Lord again. Blessed be the Lord, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman. Even though the servant was facing an almost impossible mission, he did not give up. And not only was he faithful to the task being assigned, he clung on to God's promise, God's faithfulness to Abraham's family. In this whole journey, prayer was his priority. And after he found Rebecca, the first thing he did was bowing down and worship the Lord. In the beginning, even though there were so many uncertainty, he was praying, he was waiting, he was clinging to God's promise. And God was faithful. God heard his prayer. God granted him the opportunity to meet Rebecca right there. So now, let's go to Act 3 and see what happened next. Abraham's servant became the guest of Rebecca's family and was welcomed by Laban, Rebecca's brother. From verse 34 all the way to verse 48, Abraham's servant shared in detail about why he was there. He shared about Abraham and Sarah's story. He shared about Abraham's instruction about finding a wife for Isaac. He shared how his prayer was being answered when he arrived at this town and how he met Rebecca at the well. After listening to this long, long speech, Laban and his father replied, "The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebecca is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." It's a green light, right? So when Abraham's servant heard this, once again, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. He brought out the jewelry of silver and of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to Laban and her mother costly ornaments. When the servant arose next morning, he said to the family, "Send me away to my master." And Laban and her mother said, "Can Rebecca stay for a little while, at least for 10 days? After that, she can go." Well, facing such a request, I don't know how would you react if you were the servant. The servant knew that it may be good for the family, you know, since Rebecca will be leaving for good. But it may cause other uncertainties. And what if they change their mind on the 10th day and all his trip, you know, will be gone? So he refused this request. So he said to them, "Do not delay me. Since the Lord had prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master." And eventually, the family finally let Rebekah go. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him." Then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the servant, starting the journey, heading back to the land of Canaan. As we look back to the whole chapter, we see that Abraham's servant was very focused about what he has been assigned by his master. He was not distracted at all by other requests or other opportunity. In his mind, there was only one thing: to accomplish what the master has called him to do, bringing Rebekah, the future wife of Isaac, home. Out of the 50 chapters of Genesis, usually our focus will be on Adam, on Noah, on Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. This nameless servant was definitely only a sidekick in the huge story of Genesis. But as we have seen, he was dedicated to his assigned role. Facing an almost impossible mission, he clung to God's promise, he was focused, non-distracted, and eventually he accomplished the mission. When the moment came, when the director told you, "It's your turn," the old servant took the stage and began acting. Even though it was only a small part of the whole story, the whole servant acted out at his best, and he finished well. Looking back at our own faith journey, maybe you think you are just a nobody in God's kingdom. Maybe you think you are very insignificant in God's story. Even when God called you to serve Him, you will have too much hesitation and fear. But the story of Abraham's servant tells us an important truth. Don't be a spectator. Step up to what God has called you for. Don't be a spectator. Step up to what God has called you for. In summer 1992, I had the privilege to serve as the intern of a Chinese church at St. John's in Newfoundland. I spent the whole summer there, and it was unforgettable. And one of the unforgettable moments is that my visit to a place called Cape Spear. Cape Spear is the eastern tip of the whole North American continent. And at Cape Spear, there was a lighthouse. During my visit, I learned that the lighthouse was there many decades already. And way back, there was no electrical timer to switch on and off the light. And instead, a person, which is called a lightkeeper, was stationed there and do the job every night. Well, his job was quite simple, to just turn on the light so that the ship will recognize the shore and prevent any accident. You can imagine, even though the job sounded simple, it was really monotonous. But to my surprise, from 1846 to 1997, generation of the Kenwell family has been serving the same role for 150 years, the Kenwell family. And you might have heard that the weather of Newfoundland was really rough and unpredictable. Imagine you have to be there during the long and challenging winter. not like this. This is probably taken in the summer, which is pretty nice for sightseeing. But those long and challenging winters. And just imagine, no matter how boring or monotonous the job is, what if the lightkeeper didn't do his job for 1 week or just one evening? What happened to the sheep who are passing by? When I heard about the story behind this lighthouse, I was really grateful for this Cantwell family. Even though their work was hidden, at the background, nobody probably will recognize them, right? They have done their part to become the protector of the Canadian shoreline. And then in that summer, God has used this lighthouse story to remind me. Even though at the time, I'm serving at a very small church at the edge of the continent, out of almost nowhere, my service at this church is prepared by God. And my life is created in Jesus to do good work. Going back to the story in Genesis, compared to Abraham, the old servant was only a sidekick in the drama. But just like the light keeper at Cape Spear, no matter how impossible the task was, step by step, he traveled from Canaan all the way to Nahor. He cling onto God's promise and God's faithfulness. He stayed focused, and eventually he completed the task assigned by his master. In Genesis, yes, God used Abraham to accomplish his plan of salvation. We all know that. But God also used this old servant, this nameless servant, the sidekick, in his story as well. And I believe that in our church, in the Koinonia story, which was started 15 years ago, you and I have a role to play. We're not just the spectator, the audience. Both you and I have a role to play. As our church is entering the first stage of reopening, we are really thankful that over 200 have gathered at our first and second gathering on Saturday. As we are preparing, planning for the rest of the reopening in this coming few months, including Kapos, youth worship, and later on English worship, I truly believe that you and I have a role to play. Even though we might not know all the details about the whole script, but since we know God is the author, He is the script writer, He is the director of our church story, when the moment comes, let me invite you. Don't be a spectator. Step up to what God has called you and I for. Don't be a spectator and step up. And by God's grace and by faith, let's step up. Take the stage and act out our role with all our heart. And now, let's stand and let's pray together. Dear God, we believe that you are the author, you are the director of the Koinonia story. We also believe that everyone in our congregation is not just an audience. You have given each of us a role to play in your story. As our church is reopening, Lord, help us. Help us to overcome our fear. Help us to overcome our hesitation. Help us overcome our inferior thinking. And help us to be ready to step up and act out our role, which you have assigned, you have designed for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Narrow as the road may seem, Spirit leads, broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. I hear you call, I am available, I say yes, your grace again, less of me and more of you, I just wanna see you move.
I hear you call, I am available,
a sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart.
I hear you call. I am available.
God, yes, you are the one who gave us life. You are the one who first extended your grace and your love to us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But yet it is because of who you are. So please help us, God. Please help us to say yes. Help us say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm available. I'm available. You can use me however you want to. Please help us say that with courage and strength. And help us spread our wings and reach out to help those in need. Please help us and prepare us to be an instrument of your love, your compassion, your generosity. And we trust in you. We trust in your strength to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we conclude our worship, let me encourage you to participate and support the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. And now let's stand for the benediction. I'll be blessing you with the blessing from the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week.